It's 4:44, time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in beautiful downtown Bangor. A gorgeous week to get out and about and do some perusing. And if you're in town for the tournament and you've never been to Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, you need to make a point to get there.
I must say, actually, we do very well with tournament folks.
Oh, I bet you do.
I almost over a decade now that I've been here, you've witnessed all sorts of things that happen in Bangor and what really does lead to increased sales, things like that, and not a lot of things really directly do. I didn't realize the song kept going that long.
Kerry's preoccupied.
It's okay.
He's busy. He's multitasking.
He's looking up obituaries and things like that. That's really funny. I was like, what's different? Oh, yes, my music is still playing. That's me, by the way, in case anybody's like, wow, this is really awful. No, that was me many, many moons ago with... Boy, we go through sound guys like Spinal Tap goes through drummers.
Really?
Wow. Just come to think of it, that was like our third sound guy, Adam. I recorded that in his little basement studio before
he
quit.
I mean, they're not dying like
No, there's no spontaneous combustion, but the one guy who got arrested afterwards might have wished he had spontaneously disappeared.
Ooh.
Yeah, we stopped using him. It was a matter of cocaine and violence.
Wow.
And we told that to our, actually, so I was telling you earlier, I was in at Winterstick Snowboards today, which is really cool. If anybody ever is visiting Sugarloaf Mountain, Seth Westcott and a couple other CVA grads, the other CVA grads, I forget their names because I did not meet them, acquired this brand, this logo, Winterstick, that was around since, I guess, the mid-70s. It predated a lot of the brands we know, and they've sort of resuscitated it on the mountain, and they have their factory there. And it's, as my wife put it, wonderfully raw. You know, they're putting all their thought and effort into, you know, handcrafting these absolutely beautiful snowboards and skis. And they have tours and everything. So I encourage anybody who likes, like, woodworking and stuff like that, or also skiing, just to see what goes into it. Because, man, it's remarkably work intensive and very cool to check that out. So check that out. But anyway, where was I going with that? I have no idea. Where was I going with that?
Sound guys.
Oh, right. So anyway, so yeah, the guy we were visiting was our first sound guy.
Oh, well,
again, who did not spontaneously combust, but does now work for Seth and Company as their operations manager, and he showed us around. So, the other upshot of being on the mountain for me, if anybody was at the Widowmaker Lounge last night, you saw my band rock out pretty hard, and hard enough to make the sound guy and the waitresses dance as well, which was... It's always cool when you see the sound guy like out on the floor and then you're like, wait a minute, don't you have a job to be doing? No, we're good. So we'll be making several more appearances at the Widowmaker and other Sugarloaf areas. So if anybody digs good classic rock cover bands, I'm shocked I'm actually in a good classic rock cover band, but come check us out.
There you go.
So we are here to talk about wine as per usual. And we've been talking about, my cable's all wacky here.
Oh, dear.
So we've been talking about different forms of agriculture, and so today I want to sort of tackle what we talked about at the last tasting we did, if anybody joined us last Thursday, and that's organic wines, biodynamic agriculture, lutte raisonné, all these different things that you're going to be hearing and seeing and hearing me talk about over the course of the next year here on Downtown. There's a lot of hot words, buzzwords out there. This weekend I came up with, I found rainforest friendly. I didn't realize that was an actual certification, but there's just a new certification body out there every day looking for, frankly, I think a lot of it is ways to earn money by having a new certification that you can sell to people. And we'll sort of talk about that because, for instance, the wine we're going to be trying today, which is absolutely super pure, cool, experimentally pure, is not certified in any way. This guy does not care in one way or the other whether you know if some certifying body thinks he's doing what he's saying he's doing. He is doing it. But anyway, so we'll talk about organic. First of all, organic is not that old a term, and we'll talk about biodynamic agriculture in a moment, which actually predates organic. But the basics of organic, right, and this is sort of certified organic when you see, either in Europe on a lot of wines, you'll see agriculture biologique, AB, with a sort of a little green thing. Or, of course, here in the U.S., you'll see U.S. certifications. First of all, obviously, no chemical pesticides or fungicides. That's right out. It's pretty obvious to everybody. There's a three-year transition period in which you may not say that you're certified organic or anything like that, but you must be practicing certified organic practices. And then you have to have all these inspections. You send your soil samples to the certifying body. They send out inspectors, blah, blah, blah. All of that, obviously, I don't have to tell you, equals cost. You're making a tremendous investment to someday be able to say that you're certified organic. Is that worth it to you? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. It's not for me to say, but it's certainly, I sell more than my fair share of bottles simply because they have a certified organic statement on them. So it's not for nothing, but some people feel it's important. Some people don't.
Now, if you are organic, but you don't want to go through all those hurdles,
right?
You obviously can't be certified. What can you put on your label?
Natural.
Ah, okay.
Natural is the sort of the catch-all word, I think, that you're going to see. And as we've talked about many times and we'll continue to talk about, follow the importer. I picked up this bottle. Again, there's nothing on it to indicate that, but I know who imports it. I know who carries it. I was like, there's no way this is not either certified organic, certified biodynamic. And what I found was even more interesting. And so we'll talk about that. But very often importers, small product, you know, small focused, small-minded, small production, focused, importers and distributors will very often be working with people who practice organically or naturally, or not. And so that's a great way to check it out. Now, one of the reasons that a lot of people don't want to do this, and this was explained to me when I was over actually in the Beaujolais region of France a couple years back, is that one of the certified organic practices that is absolutely endorsed is spraying with copper or lime fungicide. And that's natural, right? But it's not good because it can contaminate groundwater over years of use. So copper prevents the germination of fungal spores, but that, you know, there's better ways of having, you know, mildew and things like that not be attacking your vines, including a proper trimming, lower yields and also making sure that your vineyards are planted in places where there's natural breezes and things like that. Now, I was talking about biodynamic. So biodynamic actually predates organic by a number of years. Rudolf Steiner, who invented the Waldorf system of education, among other things, in the city of Berlin in 1924, held a series of lectures called his agriculture course. And basically, his whole focus was the core health of vineyards and the land. And basically explaining that, overall health, holistic health is very, you know, it's very sensible to think about. I mean, if you think about your body and all of a sudden you poison part of it with something that's, chemotherapy, for instance, is a great classic example of something that a lot of people understand it's very harmful for their body, but hopefully it'll short term or, you know, permanently take care of something very detrimental. And the hope is that your body, or in this case, your land, is so strong because of all the treatments and all the things you do that won't happen. That won't be a problem. Your land won't get that cancer, as it were, right? And if it does, it will be stronger to recover from it. And there is a little practice I should also mention, or I've mentioned, called lutte raisonnée, which basically is you're absolutely natural and using all these, you know, treatments, but if in the end to prevent loss of crop and therefore loss of all of your financial wherewithal, you do have to spray with something just once. Very often that is more generally accepted in a lot more places than you'd think, rather than strictly adhering to organic and risk losing everything. Because again, a lot of these guys are very small farmers. They've been practicing, you know, agriculture the way their grandfathers taught them, the way their grandfathers taught them. So pretty much this is all very, you know, practical. It's practicality. Makes sense. Now there's more about biodynamics, right? So biodynamics, there's this calendar that I all my customers kind of, you know, what are you talking about? The movement of the spheres, right? And it plays a tremendous effect, or has a tremendous effect on agriculture, according to this theory. The simplest example I can give you is look at tides, right? The moon affects water flow. And so why is that important? Why is water flow important? Well, if you remember Brix is the measurement of sugars in a grape versus the liquids, right? It's a ratio. Well, if you all of a sudden have a very strong full moon pulling water into the grapes, pulling it up through the roots, your ratio of waters to sugars has gone haywire, right? So that's very often why people, you know, who are practicing all these natural practices adhere to these calendars that tell you when the best time to harvest or plant or enjoy roots, leaves, fruit and flowers. And it'll help you pick some of these wines that are made naturally. Now, there's also a bunch of odd practices that we don't really have too much time to get into, but maybe in another segment of this, I can get a little more into it. But it also involves basically, you know, immunization, natural immunization practices like drying herbs, taking fertilizer and sticking it in a cow horn with some of these herbs and planting it in the middle of your vineyard. And it will essentially, and the point is, it will inoculate and fertilize in a natural way as opposed to spraying and stuff like that. The other intelligent ways, and this leads to the wine we're having right now, is really encouraging growth of flora and fauna, diversity, making sure that there's little worms growing through the dirt and everything and oxygenating all the, you know, and getting natural growth and natural harmony. So what this guy does, this is Alain Brumont. This is his Maduron. It's a red wine. And this guy is so wonderful. He is out in the middle of the foothills of the Pyrenees. No one else is around. And the reason this guy is there is because he wants to experiment with biodynamic and organic practices. So instead of just having like a little bit of like nice grass between each vineyard, this guy has forested areas to encourage flora and fauna and movement and whatever and deer pooping and all this sort of stuff and seeing where it goes. And the wines are absolutely tremendous. So again, this is a guy named Brumont, B-R-U-M-O-N-T. And this is his Petit Taurus that we have. Again, it's from the region of Maduron. So,
and it's fabulous.
And it's really, really excellent. Very appealing. And a really good example of you know, people out there that absolutely honestly believe that the way to do agriculture is natural, natural, natural. Is it right? Is it wrong? Well, just for you to consider as we close out, in a blind tasting of 10 pairs of biodynamic and conventionally made wines by Fortune magazine, judged by 7 wine experts, including a master of wine and head sommeliers, 9 of the biodynamic wines out of 10 were judged superior to their conventional counterparts. Good, of course, that happened in 04. Things do change, but that's my feeling. And I feel like I'll see you all downtown next Tuesday.
Yeah, and check out the older rosé. That's the wine of the week.
Yeah, the older rosé. I mean, it's prime drinking, and it's 25% off. The Becker Petit Rosé. So we've talked about this actually on air. Do come in and check it out. This is a rosé made on the border of Alsace and Germany. Deep, rich, red, age-worthy, and drinking awesome now. Having chowder tonight. Have it with chowder. Roast pork I had it with on Sunday. Brilliant. So come in and check that out.
Excellent.
And it's 25% off.
Eric Mead, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, Bangor.